Hello and welcome to I Talk to Ghosts, the podcast that knows the most colorful people love to wear black. I'm your spirited host, Jennifer, a medium and a teller of ghost stories. A few episodes back, I shared with you the classic Lady in White ghost stories. Tonight, we'll go darker with ghostly tales of the Lady in Black. Then later, I have an in-studio spirit reading to share with you. Showing my medium work directly is always such a treat. I'm fascinated with how each reading can be so unique, and I love that you're right there with me and my guest. Also, join me at my seance table for a message from the spirits. Each week, I create a space for a loved one to come through for a listener, and this week's spirit guest could be for you. That's later on in the podcast. But first, the ghosts. Grab your dark veil. Let's join the Lady in Black right now. For years, I have tried to explain this event because at the time, it couldn't have seemed more real. It was 2007, and I was living in a townhouse in Newcastle, not far from a steep cliff by the sea, which had been known to claim a couple of people's lives over the years. I went to bed around 11 p.m., and I was woken up around 30 minutes later when I heard some distinct noises in my bedroom that I can still remember vividly to this day. I could clearly hear footsteps on the carpet walking around my room close to my bed, and occasionally noises that sounded like clothes being dropped on my floor a number of times. It was as if someone was picking up shirts off my bedroom floor and dropping them back down onto the carpet. I was awake during the numerous noises I had heard in what seemed like a period of a couple of minutes. At the time, the most I reacted to this was to slightly open my eyes for a moment. I wasn't really alarmed. Even though I was certain that somebody was in my room, I had reasoned with myself in a sort of sleepy state that my roommate must have come in briefly to look around for something. With this in mind, I thought nothing of it and casually went back to sleep. Not long after I drifted back to sleep, I awoke again to the same noises. There were more footsteps on the carpet, walking around my bed, and the sound of clothes being dropped on the floor again. Then, I heard a louder noise, which suddenly raised my awareness. There was a small plastic wrapper on the floor at the end of my bed. It was likely a thin, transparent seal from packaging I had opened and discarded onto my floor that I meant to pick up later. I heard the crinkling noise of someone standing on this. In an otherwise silent room, this noise was quite loud. My eyes were suddenly wide open. I was now wide awake and quickly rethought the situation. Someone was in my room. I was certain of that. And it suddenly dawned on me, there was no way my roommate or anyone else I know would be walking around my room in the dark while I was sleeping. I had a rush of adrenaline and my heart started pounding out of control. I felt paralyzed with fear, but I had to confront who was there. After a slight moment of hesitation, I sat up very fast and faced towards the end of the bed where the sound came from, quickly enough to startle anyone who would have been there. I saw a lady who appeared to be in her late 50s. She was standing sideways near the end of my bed, wearing a black dress. I could see her silhouette against the white wall behind her. And there was enough moonlight illuminating the room to make out her facial features. I stared directly at her eyes for a few seconds and was thoroughly haunted by her expressionless face staring right back at me over her left shoulder. She had frozen still where she stood on the plastic wrapper. After a few moments, I said, "Hey!" with a sense of fear, struggling a bit to get the word out. She continued to stare at me blank-faced and wide-eyed without flinching, which made my skin crawl more. I was terrified. Not really thinking, I immediately leapt out of my bed to try and grab her. In the process of rapidly hurling myself out of bed towards her, I must have closed my eyes for a fraction of a second because my arms went right through where she was standing just a moment before. She had vanished. I turned on the bedroom light and stood with my back against the wall for a good 10 minutes, trying to comprehend what I had just experienced. The following night, one of my roommates reported seeing an unexplained person in the dark walking past the bathroom door behind him in the mirror while he was shaving. And this was before he knew about my experience from the night before. On the third night, the very moment I was told his experience and we made the connection of the two events, the bathroom door immediately slammed shut upstairs. At the time, there was no one upstairs. It was pitch black, and it couldn't have been the wind that slammed that door. We never did find out who the lady in black was. It was the night of a party, and my sisters had a few friends over. We were all getting ready with them to go out. We were in the hall bathroom, and my sister's room, which had a full mirror, was directly across the hall from the bathroom. My sister's friend glanced down the hallway, and the reflection from the mirror in my sister's room caught her eye. In the mirror, she saw an older woman in an old-fashioned black dress sitting at our dining room table. This woman in black was so clear, she got curious as to who it was, so she walked down the hallway and looked into the dining room to see no one. All the chairs were empty, except a coat hanging across the back of a chair. She got all of our attention, and from another vantage point at the end of the hall, we looked into the TV's reflection of the dining room, and we could see this woman in black as well. We tried to figure out if the shape was just the coat as we looked back and forth from the dark TV reflection to the empty dining room. That's when we saw her head move. And we all screamed. Our mother ran out of her room and we explained what was happening. She looked down the hall through the mirror's reflection, and she too saw the woman in black. She walked into the kitchen with caution, heading towards the dining room, and we directed her towards the woman we saw in the reflection still. Very carefully, she inched closer, moving towards what she perceived as an empty chair, till her hand was inches away. Carefully, she grabbed the back of the dining room chair, but before she could even push the chair, we watched the figure disappear, leaving an empty space in the reflection. There was no possible way that figure was caused by the coat that we could now clearly see. We were all scared from that point, and we all finished getting ready in my sister's room. We turned the TV around, and the next day we moved the TV and the mirror to different locations so they couldn't reflect the dining room. We didn't want to risk seeing the lady in black ever again. Hello, my dear spooky friend. Do you have a paranormal experience you would like to share? Submit your ghost stories to be read on this podcast. I love sharing true ghost stories, and yours could be among them. Email me your story at speaknow@italktoghosts.com. Let's be spooky together. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. My guest this evening is Chastity. Chastity, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. You know, so I've been looking forward to this all month. So
That is always so nice to hear. And I'm feeling the energy from your family. You have an extensive family.
I do.
It feels huge. Like, I don't know where to start.
Oh my goodness, yes.
There is a lot of love coming in for you. Oh, so much comfort, so much love. This feels like such a source of support for you. I believe this is your grandmother who is coming through.
Yes.
But she feels more than that. She's like everyone's mom. You know, your mom, the family, you know, the family connected through her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she was our rock. She was all of our rock. And when she left, it just seems like it. And she raised me. So she
mm-hmm.
was. Okay. So me and my mom were both. Yeah. So yes, that makes perfect sense.
The other thing that's coming through with her is she's a protector. Like, if you are in her space, not that everyone's on their best behavior, but it's more like there is a respect there and a calmness that will not be broken.
Yeah. Yeah. She was always kind of, people would think that she's like scary, but she's really not. She just was all bark. And she was a little tiny woman, but she just controlled the room. Something fierce, mm-hmm. you know, so she was barely 5 foot, 100 and some pounds, but she ruled everyone with an iron fist. So
I always like the phrase storm in a teacup.
Yes, exactly.
Now, with her, and I'm getting the sense that this is a theme with your family, that it can be quiet and very much thinking time, but when people are together, it can be loud and boisterous and lively.
Yes, that's exactly all of our family, because we have a huge extended family, and I don't live on the reservation with everybody. So when I go home and I get around cousins, my grandma's, because my grandma and her sisters and brothers, everybody were all very raged, very close together. Mm-hmm. So when we get home, it's loud. It's at times when we're supposed to be quiet and it should be in mourning, we're loud laughing. Mm-hmm. We get through everything with jokes and just, yes. you know, what else can you do yes. is laugh, you know, and yes. enjoy the moment. So,
yes.
Yeah, that we can get very loud.
Now, with your grandmother's home, I was also seeing a lot of books. Did your grandmother like to read?
My grandmother, hers was all like cookbooks. She had tons and tons of cookbooks. Mm-hmm. She loved baking. So her whole thing was desserts. Mm-hmm. So that was what she had tons of books of. The rest of us, we've read, and we all, tons of books is involved in like all of our lives because mm-hmm. we all like to read.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I was seeing like this old box of checkers. And some games and some puzzles.
I don't know with that one there because I didn't see it being locked up. That's maybe with another family member that's all in the mix. So
okay,
with that one, I'm not exactly
sure. Yeah, if it sticks in your head and you're curious about it, maybe ask around. This is an older box, like it's yellowing around the corners. And it's like, who has these checkers and what's the history of them?
And I love that you have that because I've seen so many of your things play out later where you brought you said, well, what about this? And after the call was done, they seen what the checkers were for later or something. So I'm anxious. I think it's going to pop up.
Okay. Yeah. Let me know. Let me know if you find out. In her kitchen, was there like a vinyl tablecloth that was always there?
There used to be a long time ago. As I got older, it wasn't there so much, but it used to be like a brown, like mm-hmm. a fall color vinyl mm-hmm. tablecloth. But I don't remember it when I was older. I do remember it when I was younger.
I love pulling in the earlier memories with things. Oh, this was something that was coming in. Is it her that would come in with like a hard kiss, like on your cheek, like really like aggressive kind of?
I'm trying to think of how it was. I know things were just kind of rough of grabbing me because whenever I came home, they were always very excited to finally see me. Sometimes it might be some months and sometimes it might be a year before I made it home.
Aggressive, so yeah, it was right? Usually like, very,
I could see it. Aggressive, yes.
Yeah, just kind of ferocious, like, so much love behind it. So much love behind it. It sounds like this house has been packed up and people have moved on. But another thing that I wrote down that I just want to share with you, and it sounds like you were already confirming it, was that her house was an old house that was in the family, and now you don't have access to it anymore. I was almost going to ask you if it's not there anymore, you know, or does it just feel that way to you?
Yeah, it feels that way. I mean, there's a whole nother family that's in there, and it's just completely closed off to us, and it's just, it feels like something's totally lost there. So, I mean, because that was home. Now I don't feel like I have a home to go back to. So we've always had someplace to touch.
Your grandma's acknowledging, especially when things are rough, it feels like you need that anchor and it's not there. But she's saying it might sound corny, but the anchor's in your heart. You know what I mean? And I think she wanted to bring up bring up that feeling of that the house not being accessible, that it's no longer there, it's not yours anymore, to kind of talk about this and say, you know, make the home inside of you and call her close because she's still with you. She's still very much with you. And I know when it gets really, really hard, you feel even more untethered, but it's okay. You know what she says to me? She says, we are going to get through this. You know, so just hear her saying that when you need her, because she's saying, we are going to get through this. And she means that with you together. You know?
She was my everything.
It's so apparent that she just loves you so much.
What I felt was sad, I think, a lot of the times, because I've had dreams of family members that have moved on and passed on, and that was always kind of something that had happened, but my grandmother never came to me in all these years, and I was really, really hoping that she would have been able to show up today as well, because it feels like she hasn't been there. It feels like, why do I get to visit? Other people get to come visit me, but she doesn't come visit.
I'm gonna be quiet for a second and see what she has to say. She is conveying to me that for some reason or another, dreams in this case are not the strongest avenue for her and you. She's saying she comes to you in the light. I'm seeing the light in your eyes, like light in your face. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because when I ask if she's there, if she would make something flash or a light in the kitchen mm-hmm. will just burn out, but it'll come right back on. You know, like it's. And I didn't ever know if she was there. I didn't know. That was just something I felt. You know, if you're here with me, Grandma, can you just, you know, show me. And, you know, and I took it as that's who it was, the flicker or something. And I'd say, okay, Grandma, you know, and I'd be able to calm down a bit. But, yeah, that the light does, trigger something big for her.
Personally, yeah. I know that when I set expectations of how something should be, I'm kind of boxing myself in a little bit. And it's best to just be gently open and, yeah, talk to her, feel her, send her love. And then, and it just can be so subtle. And we're used to the big Hollywood fireworks, right? But it can be very subtle. It could be a very subtle shift in, you know, the air. It can feel like a presence over your shoulder. But just lean into it and say, oh, I know you're here. I trust it. And as you build that relationship and you build that connection, I wouldn't be surprised if it got stronger and stronger, you know? And when we're grieving, there is that fear on the inside that what if they're not going to be here? And I think that we just have to reassure ourselves and soften that and know that no matter what, you know, our human emotions can kind of talk us out of it or get in the way. But no matter what, that doesn't change energy. That doesn't change the universe. It doesn't change souls. It's just our human perception and our humanness getting in the way sometimes.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'll feel more comfortable. I mean, I knew I felt it, but it's just always that questioning, like, well, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's always that doubt that kind of comes in when I know what's there. And then it feels like when I get low, I just feel like nothing's there.
I completely understand that, and I think a lot of people can relate to that, so it's great that we're talking about it. When we're low, we shouldn't be making decisions. When we're hungry, we shouldn't be grocery shopping. You know, we should realize that we're influencing ourselves in that way. But if we can just breathe and kind of shift our energy, we can help it along.
Yeah, that to me makes total sense, because then I can be very stubborn or just impatient, I guess. can be impatient.
Yes, yes, but, you know, that is also not your fault. I feel like this runs in your family.
yeah.
It could get people in trouble, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Now,
very much so.
She is saying she wants you to thrive. She just wants you to thrive. Pull people into your life who compliment you in a way that you're like, they just, their presence and their interactions make you your best self. You know what I mean? Like, and you know how some people, it's like, you're making me my worst self. But other people, they can really make you your best self and support you as you go. And if you have a hard time connecting with that, she just really wants you to be your best friend, you know, to support yourself, ask yourself what you need. And promise that for yourself.
Makes sense. A lot of it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I could see it's a little bit calming. I feel like in my head, she's like, just like, I told you, I'm always there. Or I just,
exactly.
Like, tisk, 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 you know?
In a loving way, it's like.
Yeah. Yes.
Let me see. Yeah, and she's saying to take care of yourself physically, like sleep matters, what you eat matters, drinking enough water matters, those sort of things. Like, she's like, if I can't be here physically to watch over you, please be your own guardian. And she wants to nudge you along with that.
That's, and I somehow became the rock of the family of my sister and niece and nephew. So I've been calling on my mom and my grandma quite a bit just to give me strength, because I'm not used to being the strong one or having to be, you know, and the patient one. They're really trying my patience and, as you say, making me my better self, because I'm having to be calm and it's not just me I'm making decisions for. So I can totally see making me become my better self. So begrudgingly, but
oh, that's interesting. She's like, maybe that's what she was saying, like, who you're surrounded with is going to make you your best self. And it's wonderful that you see that challenge as it is.
It is, because I.
She's also saying to don't be afraid to do it your own way, because you are you and you're unique and you're going to be different. So don't feel like you have to pull out her playbook and keep it all the same, because you're different. Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because I can't be as diplomatic or as caring and being able to lay things out as easily as she did. So,
And that's okay.
There's a lot. I'm not as nice as they are. Well, I am, but they just gave it a lot more freely of themselves. I was more guarded, personality or whatnot. They just gave freely of themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's just different of me having to do it.
You are a tough cookie, but you feel a lot on the inside. And I think she cherishes you for that. She can see that in you, how much you feel. And it's understandable why you would want to guard your heart sometimes. But also understanding that, you know, we live best when we do things big and we open up, and it's usually not as scary as we think it was going to be, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Oh, yeah. There was this sense of, I wouldn't be surprised if you were good at like energy healing. I don't know if you've ever been drawn to the idea of that or not.
I would say so, because once I learned anger management, I wasted so much of my life before being angry. People try to say I'm too positive now. I'm like, no, I just look on the brighter side of things. You know, like, yes, we're in the middle of a shit storm, but we still got to find what good things are coming out of it. You know, like, we're learning something. Something has to be learned from this. You know, like, obviously we're missing something, so we got to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, so I can see it, because my sister, I've gotten her to calm down quite a bit, and we're both on track after losing everybody, and I can see how that helps. Of who I focus it into, it seems how it can usually get good vibes. I can see it.
Now your mom wants to come in with this one. Did you two butt heads a lot?
My grandma said we were too much alike.
Because when you mention stubbornness, she like raises her hand. And it's like, acknowledgement there. But there very much is this cultivated friendship that you've had with her.
My mom became my best friend. Aww. And I wish I didn't waste all my younger years fighting that. You know, it was just the last few years of her life that, you know, she went from being my mom to my best friend. Mm-hmm. And then me losing my best friend. Aww. So,
Here's what she's saying about that. Well, I think a lot of people, when they hear you, they can understand, you know, in our youth, we are different people You know, and we can butt heads with a lot of people. And your mom is saying she had her own frustrations and that she always felt like she was inside looking out, if that makes sense. Like she couldn't do the things she wanted to do, but she could see them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It makes because I would hear her talking to other people saying that she didn't know how to be a good mom when she was the best mom ever. You know, she said, all I know how to do is work. And
yeah.
She was the best mom. I get the best role model, the best everything. So I don't know how she couldn't see that she was everything.
Yeah. She's saying that when you were angry and frustrated and stubborn, she was in a period in her life where she was angry and frustrated and stubborn as well. And as life changes and evolves, all that kind of can fall away sometimes. And we can just see each other for who we genuinely are. And it sounds like she had a lot of self-judgment there. And, you know, the working and never being home. And everything, it's hard, but sometimes it's like your heart is in the right place because you're trying to provide security and not worry about.
Yeah, she still did so much though. Like she did a lot. I mean, when everybody started healing their traumas and started healing, she went back to college full time. She was being a full time mom, working full time, going to college full time. She got a degree, you know, like she taught me how to be an adult, you know, like, yes, I might've messed up all my younger years, but she taught me and showed me who I want to be as I'm getting older now. So, yeah.
She sounds like an amazing woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read your messages to you because so many of these things seem to echo in what we're talking about. Here's what they're saying. Don't worry. Don't overthink things. Okay. Find that balance. Find that balance in life. And it certainly sounds like you're finding that equilibrium in things. But if you can't find it, humor. Humor will get you there.
Yeah.
Never, yes. Never feel limited, and you can figure anything out. You can do anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I hope those things resonate for you right now. And
yeah.
It is so moving to talk to you and to share this with you and to feel it. It's just a wonderful gift that you're giving me to share this with you. And I can't thank you enough. You have a lovely family. They are there with you. You're an amazing person. And you just deserve all the encouragement and love in the world as you go forward.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I love it.
Before we go, do you have a personal ghost story that you would like to share?
I do.
Listener ghost story.
Me and my cousin must have been maybe 15, 16. I think we were juniors, seniors in high school. We lived way out in the country to get on our reservation, to get anywhere. There's a lot of miles in between, so we had to have a car. We were having to be home. We had a set curfew. But we were way on the other side of the reservation, trying to come back down the hills. It was starting to snow. We drove by somebody walking on the road. We thought about it. We were asking, you know, well, we drove by at first because we were females. You know, who's going to pick up a male hitchhiker?
Yeah.
We went through it and checked to make sure to see if we had any weapons or anything. I found an ice scraper. Like the ice scraper. I asked my cousin this time, what was that ice scraper going to do if he was a serial killer? But I had my ice scraper. So we turned around and we went to go pick him back up. And when we got him picked up, he got in the car. And everything was okay. he was saying how cold he was. He was laughing. He was joking, you know, and he was saying how cold it was. And then he had said, he said, I think my friends were playing a trick on me. So like, oh, yeah, why is that? He said, well, I just woke up in a cemetery. And we said, what? Like, you know, it was just kind of in our mind. And Native Americans, we believe in spirits and stuff, you know. So not knowing and being young, you know, you have all this folklore running in your head, so you're not sure what's real, what's not, if this is really something, you know. So we're just still talking to him. He asked for a cigarette. In our culture, tobacco, we give tobacco for parries and stuff. So not knowing if he was real or if he was not, I gave him about a half a pack of cigarettes. You know, I'm like, here you go. And he was talking and he said his name. We were getting into town and we told him we could drop you off anywhere in town. Just tell us where you need to go. He was like, no, just take me to the edge of town. Just drop me up here. He said, I need to decompress before he gets to whoever's house he was going to. I'm like, are you sure? It's cold. It's snowing. He's like, no, just drop me up here. So we dropped him off, and then we pulled out, and we were driving. We ended up going around the block, and we came back around. I can't remember what we were going to, if we were just going to make sure that he wanted to walk or whatever the case may be, but when we came back around, he wasn't there. There was nowhere. He couldn't have gotten far enough anywhere in any direction for him just to be gone. But we're still thinking, well, maybe, you know, okay, well, whatever, we got to get home. So we went flying home, and when we got into my cousin's house, we went inside and we told my grandma, her mom, where we were at, because we ended up being a little bit late. And we told her who it was, who we picked up, and she's like, no, it couldn't have been. And I'm like, yeah, no, we said the name. She's like, no, he's been passed away for some years now. And we're like, what? And so it started making sense after the fact. He woke up and he must not have known that he was gone, is what we were thinking, you know, that he thought his friends were playing a joke on him and he woke up at the cemetery. But it was winter. It was cold. I don't think he could have woke up and been okay, you know, but we just weren't too sure. So that was our little thing, our ghost hitchhiker. Guys, just seen me post something about doing a story about a ghost hitchhiker, but that was our ghost hitchhiker.
Wow. So let me ask you, did your grandmother recognize him not only from the name, but also like his description, what he looked like?
Mainly, but she couldn't quite remember, but she knew the name for sure. And it was a unique enough name to where we couldn't have got it mixed up with another person in town. Mm-hmm. I get. Like, when we tried to recall the story later, we asked my grandma if she remembered the name. All these years later, as we were an adult, she couldn't remember the name of him either anymore. But at the moment, she was very adamant and just fresh in the moment because his name was fresh in our minds because we just picked him up. Uh-huh. You know, so after that, we didn't remember. But yeah, she said it would have to have been almost 10 years that she said that he had passed away. So we thought that was, and just the little signs of that he was giving in the car. He was saying how cold he was and here, feel me. I'm really cold. And he was hard and cold, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just, it just was weird. Cause even in the moment thinking, is this a spirit or is this real? Because sometimes spirits can be as real as, you know, you and me.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again. You are so lovely. You have such a beautiful soul. And I'm just so glad that we got to spend this time together.
Yes, I am too. Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to it. And you're just as sweet talking to you. And I still can't believe it. But yes, thank you so much. And you do an amazing job. Like, you really, a lot of your stories really, really touch my heart. I think I'm all caught up. I binged everything in the beginning and now I'm caught up on the week to week, so I have to wait until every Friday.
But, I'm working on it.
I binged all of it in like a very short period of time, because where I work, I just listen to podcasts all day. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take very long at all to binge through your whole catalog. So yeah, so I love it. You're awesome.
I'll keep making them if you keep listening.
Yeah. Would you like a free spirit reading with me and record your reading for the podcast? Sign up for your chance to be selected by visiting italktoghosts.com/guest. And as an added bonus, if you don't want to leave your reading up to chance, I'll let you in on a secret. There's a discount offer to book a private session with me, so you can book a date and time for certain. Visit italktoghosts.com/guest for more details. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. I have a message from the spirits this evening, so thank you for joining me in the candlelight. Tonight, as I'm doing my spirit work, I'm going to have with me obsidian. I thought obsidian would be appropriate since we're doing a Lady in Black episode, and obsidian is oh so very dark. It's known for its protective properties. It's a very strong stone at shielding you from negative energy. So I'm going to take a few deep breaths, center, clear the space, and invite a spirit close. I have with me tonight someone's grandfather. He very much has jovial grandfather, father energy. He is sharing with me that he worked very diligently in life. He really did throw himself into his job. It feels like woodwork or carpentry, perhaps some architectural engineering, but he really did love working with his hands and creating woodwork as well. Though he was very dedicated to his job, you have so many nostalgic memories. He was quite the jokester and really just loved to laugh, tell a couple tall tales, always had a new joke to share, and he always had a smile on his face. Christmas feels like an important holiday for him and your family, and whenever you see vintage Christmas decorations, you think of him. His message for you tonight is he knows that you are going through some health burdens right now, and it is keeping you somewhat isolated and definitely inside your home. And he knows that you have just such an adventurous spirit, and he wants to encourage you in any way that you can to feed that part of yourself, feed that adventurous, spontaneous, soul-loving part of yourself in any way you can with the limitations that you have right now, whether it's through reading books with amazing stories or being able to conference with your friends so that they can take you on their hikes or their adventures, mini quests that you can feel that you're a part of it, little things like that, anything you can do to open your world a little wider for yourself. He just feels like that adventurous spirit kind of runs in the family, and he can't help but think that there's health benefits there as well. It's when we feel good, our immune system is better, right? And he just really wants to offer that little encouragement for you. He also wants to send you some healing, loving energy as well. So let's just take a moment and breathe and feel that loving light and allow your body to accept this energy for rest and recuperation. And also that spark of adventure as well. And I do hope this message finds you well. If this connects for you, please reach out. I would love to know. And maybe we can do an energy session as well I think that would be really lovely. Thank you. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed my spirit work that I shared with you this evening, as well as those ghostly tales of the lady in black. Have you seen such an apparition? I would love to hear about it, so please reach out. In the meantime, wherever you wander off to in this world or the next, just remember, come back and visit with me. Have a lovely evening and good night.